Today, on the Feast of Christ the King, I want to talk to you about the strangest king you've ever met. The strangest king you've ever met. Because although we talk about Christ and we use a worldly image of kingship, he is not like a worldly king. And as we look at this, these images of Christ in the reading, we begin to see that I'd like to distinguish three fundamental portraits of Christ. One, that he is a caring king. Secondly, that he's a conquering king. And thirdly, that he is a coming king. Let's look at these three and let's see, though, how the Lord, if you will, fills them out in a different way than we often see in worldly kings. Now, first of all, let's look at the fact that the Lord's a caring king. And the first reading today from the book of Ezekiel speaks to us of a number of things about the Lord. It says that I'm the Lord God, and I myself will shepherd my sheep, and they've been scattered when it was cloudy and dark, and I love them, and I want to draw them again to myself. So we have the image of a caring king who goes out. And you know, I don't know much about sheep or shepherding, but I've heard it said that sheep are timid creatures, and if there's a thunderstorm or some other loud weather, they tend to get frightened and scatter. And the shepherd has to come out and reassure them and gather them to himself. And so we see that the Lord is saying, I'm a king who cares for you like that. Now, anyone got any storms in your life? Anyone ever been through a howling gale, some hailstones, and I'm not talking about those kind of storms just outside, but some of those storms inside too. And I wonder if you thought at times like that the Lord, like a shepherd, came looking for you when it was cloudy and dark in your life, when there were storms. And I just want to say that what's paradoxical about this image of the caring king is that we don't usually think of kings and heads of state as that sort of way, as they're out there to really care for us. But, you know, in the ancient world, and until recently, it was really thought that kings and heads of states were someone who should take care of me. Most ancient kings would have a certain day where their subjects could approach them and talk to them about their problems. And in fact, one story is told about St. Athanasius that one day he ran up to the emperor who was on horseback and grabbed hold of the reins and disputed a theological point with the emperor. People could do that in the ancient world. They would run up to kings. And even until recently in this country, it was noted that most of our presidents would have certain days where people could just line up without an appointment and come into the White House and talk to him. Abraham Lincoln would set aside Tuesdays in the afternoon, and people would just come and line up and one by one go on in and say, you know, Mr. President this or Mr. President that. And of course, now today with security and assassinations and the kind of struggles we've had and violence in recent times, we tend to isolate our heads of state, amen? They're behind security folks and those guys, you know, that talk into their wrist. They got that thing in their back of their ear. And likewise, we don't often think that a king or a president, a head of state, is someone that I can go and tell him my troubles. And frankly, even bishops of large dioceses, you know, you got layers of staff to get through to before you talk to them. And so again, we see that today, though, I want you to know something. Jesus is a caring king, and he is just one prayer away. You know, you can just pick up the main line, and Jesus is there. He's on the main line. He's there for you and for me. He's one prayer away. And he says again that no one who ever calls on me will I reject. An old song says that, simply says, King Jesus is a listening when you pray. King Jesus is a listening when you pray. He's a caring king, church. Now, I want to testify. I said I want to testify that he's been a caring king for me. The Lord has led me through many a storm. The Lord has put to death many things in me that were destroying me. The Lord's been good to me. And church, I want to say something, that the Lord's been good to me even when I didn't think he was being good to me. He was still being good to me. Because church, sometimes the Lord has to care for us in ways that don't always make immediate sense to us, but later on we say, ah, now I get it. Now I see what you were doing. You know, there's some interesting lines in this text. It says here that, the lost I'm going to seek out. The strayed I'll bring back. The injured I'll bind up. The sick I'll heal. But the sleek and the strong I'll destroy, shepherding them rightly. Now, I want to just say to you, church, that there's been times in my life when I've been sleek and strong. I used to be a lot sleeker. And I want you to know the Lord has humbled me by making me more well-rounded. But you know, it's sometimes that when we're sleek and strong, that we're in the greatest danger of all. We feel like, look at me, I'm on the top of my game. Church, when our way gets a little too easy, we tend to stray from the Lord, amen? And sometimes when we're sleek and strong, we say, I'm on the top of my game. I'm getting ready to take a mighty fall. And so to prevent it, the Lord has to kind of humble us. He has to destroy the pride in us. And even then, painful though it is, I want you to know the Lord cares for us. And sometimes he has to do some difficult and painful things. And I'm a witness. The Lord has had to lead me and sometimes humble me and sometimes remind me that I wasn't all that I thought I was. But in the end, he was shepherding me rightly. So are you praying with me, church? Book of Romans chapter 8 says that all things work together for good for those who love and trust the Lord. So the Lord is a caring king, and he's caring for you even when you don't think he's caring for you. All things, not just some things, but all things work together. Sometimes some of us right now in this church got some stuff going on, have a situation in our life, and we may wonder. And for now, just understand this. The Lord has allowed it. Keep saying, Lord, take it away. That's all right. Keep praying. But the Lord has allowed it for a season and for a reason. Amen? So he is a caring king, a king who cares for us. Now, that's the first image of our king, Jesus, the caring king. Now, the second image is that he is a conquering king. The text today from Corinthians says that the Lord has subjected all of his enemies one by one, putting them under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Now, this is also paradoxical. It's hard to understand because at some level it doesn't seem like the Lord is a conquering king. An awful lot of bad stuff's going on in the world and sometimes in our own life. Amen? And you know, the book of Hebrews takes up that human thought. It says, in putting everything under the Lord Jesus' feet, God left nothing unsubject. However, at the present time, we do not see everything as subject to him, but we do see Jesus, who was made for a little while lower than the angels, now seated at God's right hand. Church, right now, sometimes our earthly eyes can't see how everything is subject to him, but I want you to know everything is subject to Jesus Christ. Everything is under his feet. Everything is under his authority and control. And so there is here a very, very powerful message. Nothing is out of control. There is no panic in heaven, just plans. And it's going to be fine. The Lord allows some of these things to take place. We don't see the whole picture. But the Lord has everything perfectly under control. That's the paradox, though. We don't always see him as the conquering king. Sometimes he and the faith that we so love seems defeated, seems to be in decline. It's all right. I just pruned the rose bushes out there. They'll be back in the spring. They'll be back. And they'll be more beautiful than ever. Right now, it's pruning season. But in the end, the faith will prevail and the truth will win out. Amen? Now, I also want to testify at a personal level that Jesus is a conquering king in my own life. You see, he has begun to conquer enemies in my soul. Amen, church? Some of us in this church are struggling with some enemies. We call these enemies greed, lust. We call these enemies a lack of forgiveness. We call these enemies anger and addiction. There are lots of enemies, church, amen? And I want to just testify that in my own life, I've seen one by one the Lord just starting to put some of these enemies down for me. There are some sins I used to commit. I don't commit them anymore. There are some bad attitudes I used to have. They've been put down and replaced with better attitudes. There are some things in my life that I used to fear and be anxious about, and I'm not anxious anymore. Praise God. God is conquering my enemies. God is setting me free. And you notice again the reading today from 2 Corinthians says this. It says, he's doing it one by one. Talks about kind of the Lord going about it all in a kind of a systematic way. And you know, I've experienced that too. There are some things that the Lord wants to heal you and me from right now, but we're not ready yet. So he's got to take care of some other things first, and then he'll conquer some of the things we're still waiting for. Are you praying with me? The Lord knows how to do things in proper order. And church, the last enemy we're all going to face is death. And you know what? I'll rise. I'm going to rise. Just wait till Sunday morning. I'm going to rise because my King rose, and he's rose to lead me across the valley of the shadow of death. Some of us are skating downhill now, and some of us is getting faster and faster, and that day of our departing comes sooner and sooner. But in the end, church, it's going to be just fine because Jesus is conquering all of our enemies, and he has, wait for the last one, he'll conquer death last, but he will conquer it and lead you through. Amen? He is a conquering king. I don't fear death. I like you, have a natural fear of the suffering that precedes death, but I don't fear death because my Lord has already conquered so many enemies in my life, I know he's going to conquer that one too. Amen? We have a conquering king. God's been good to us. He's a caring king, and he's good to us even when we don't think he's being good to us, and he's a conquering king, and even in his apparent weakness, he is setting us free. Look at that weakness on the cross, but he's conquering through that weakness. God's weakness is stronger than anyone else's strength. God can beat down sin and Satan with both hands nailed to a cross. Strong hand, outstretched arm. Now, I want to just say one other paradoxical thing about Christ's conquering power. There's one thing he won't conquer. He refuses to conquer it. He simply will not conquer it. And that is you. He's not out to conquer you. He's out to love you. And he wants you to love him. So although he has all authority and he could force all of us to do anything he wanted, he won't do it. He made us free. And he says, I invite you into my kingdom. I'm inviting you. You don't have to come. I want you to come. And I made you free so that you could love me, because I want to love you and I want to be in a relationship of love with you. And to love, you got to be free. If you can force someone to love you, it ain't love. By definition, love is a free gift of the self to the other. And the Lord says, I offer you myself. Would you please give me your heart? Give me your soul. God could force the issue, but God won't do it. Because he's not that kind of a conquering king. Now, most worldly kings say, all right, I just brought my army. I just conquered your territory. I'm now the new king, and you will bow to me. And if you don't bow to me, I'll lop off your head. I'll raise your taxes. I'll put you in jail. But I'm your king, whether you like it or not. We are Siamese if you please. We are Siamese if you don't please. I'm your king, whether you like it or not. That's what a worldly king says. But the heavenly king says, I can conquer and will conquer every enemy you've got, but I'm not out to conquer you. I'm inviting you in love to live your life with me. Will you please give me your love? Give me your heart. Come into my kingdom. Live with me. And church, that in the end, as I've told you before, we've been reading all these judgment texts, and we have that in the gospel too. There's a judgment in the end, isn't there? And the judgment isn't about whether God is mean or he's nice. That's not the judgment. The judgment, in the end, is what's your decision? He calls the question. Do you want to be with me in my kingdom or not? And the mystery, of course, is that there are some who do not want the invitation. Because, you see, it's just not on their terms. They don't like chastity, or they don't like justice, or they don't like mercy and forgiveness. They don't love the poor, and they don't want anything to do with all that stuff. And the Lord says, all right, I will not force you to do anything. I won't force it. I'll never force you. You're free. I ask you to love me, to love my kingdom, and it's all yours if you want it. But I'll never force you. And on Judgment Day, the question is finally called. Some say yes, and mysteriously, and sadly, some say no. And the Lord doesn't say, well, you're going to come into heaven anyway. He just says, all right, depart from me. Depart. Because in the end, sad though it must be for him, he wants us to be free. So he's a conquering king, church. But he'll never conquer you. He always woos us in love, calls us, encourages us. But in the end, he gives us our freedom. The final thing I want to talk about this morning is not only that Christ is a caring king and a conquering king, but that he is a great and coming king. And when I say coming, I don't just mean at the end of time. He's coming to us right now. And this leads us to the title of the message, that this is one of the strangest kings you've ever met. Because the Lord comes to us, and the scene, of course, is the last judgment. But I want to just say right now, the Lord is before us. He's before us in his word. He's going to come to us in the Eucharist. And church, all week long, he's going to be coming to you. All week long. And you know, if you start to think about it, you begin to recognize him. But he's a strange king. Where are worldly kings found? They are found in palaces. They're surrounded by servants and staff who take care of their every need. They live in beautiful places. They never have any lack of food or any pleasure they want. They have, sadly, harems and all kinds of stuff going on. Kings take good care of themselves, and they live well. But this king is a very strange king. He comes to us, and this king is poor. He's hungry. He's thirsty. He's lonely. He's a stranger. He's even in prison. He's the strangest king you ever saw. If he's wearing robes at all, they're tattered and torn. He's hungry and he's thirsty. That's how he comes to us. The strangest king you've ever met. There he is. And too many of us say, well, who are you? He says, oh, you know who I am. Church, it's very paradoxical, isn't it? We like to think of Jesus up on a cloud and at the Father's right hand. And yes, he's there. But he's also come to us right here. And he doesn't always look like we expect. Sometimes he looks like a poor person. Sometimes he comes to us as someone who's lonely. Maybe he comes to us as a youth who needs instruction and encouragement. Maybe he comes to us as a relative who just lost their husband. Maybe he comes to us as someone who's just struggling in their life and needs a little encouragement. The Lord comes to us, and he doesn't always look like he's wearing a crown. But that's who he is. And church, pay attention to what he says. He doesn't say, when you serve the poor and you take care of the needy and you visit someone in the hospital or you encourage someone who's lonely, he's not just saying you're doing a good or an ethical thing. He's saying you're serving me. Because they are me and I am them. It's what we call the mystical body. Now, that phrase mystical, be careful with it. It doesn't mean unreal. It actually means more real. Because this physical world around us that we think is the most real thing is passing away. But that which is mystical, that which is spiritual, remains forever. It's more real. Jesus isn't just saying, I'm kind of like them. He's saying, I am them. And when you serve them, you serve me. Oh, I'm coming to you all right. Not just at the end of time. Not just when you pray. I'm coming to you all day long. And sometimes I'm coming to you with troubles. You say, uh-oh, here comes trouble. And I want you to say, no, here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. And Jesus says this in this gospel. I tell you truthfully, if you take care of my poor, you're taking care of me, and I will never forget what you've done for the least of my brethren. I'll never forget it. I'll always remember the goodness you've shown. And the poor may not be able to repay you, but I will repay you a million times over for all the good you've done, for the children you've helped to raise, even when they troubled you. I'll pay you back a millionfold for the poor you've helped, for those who were discouraged or lonely or cast down, for the hungry who were hungry, whether spiritually or physically, for the thirsty, for everyone you've ever served. I will remember it. I'll never forget the good you've done, and I will repay you a millionfold. Church, he also warns us not to neglect it. He says, don't neglect them. Don't neglect the poor and the needy. Don't write them off, because you might be sending God packing. Be careful. It's not always easy. We can't do everything. I know we've got limits. We don't have all the money in the world. We don't have all the time. But church, we all know there are just some people, special people in our life, that the Lord has called us. He's called us to serve and to love. So it is that we gather today and we honor the strangest king you've ever met. He's a caring king, unlike a lot of worldly leaders today who are behind staff and behind all kinds of security barriers. He's a king who's just one prayer away, and he's taking good care of you. Even when you don't think he's caring for you, he's caring for you. He's a conquering king, but not a king who conquers you, but a king who conquers those who seek to destroy you, those terrible drives of sin. And he is a coming king who comes to you in so many ways, strange, hidden, who surprises you. He comes in all those strange, different ways. Finally, I want to conclude and say that I've asked you for 6 weeks now to think about somebody who the Lord wants to shepherd back to his church, and he wants to work through you. And it's a beautiful thing to reflect on this feast of Christ the King, because some of the sheep have been scattered. Some of them have had problems in their life when it got cloudy and dark. Some of them have drifted. Some of them have wandered. And I've asked you to pray for the last 6 weeks. Lord Jesus, Heavenly King, teach me, who is it that you want me in particular to work with? I may not be able to bring everybody back, but who is that one person that you want to shepherd back to your church and you want to work with me to do it? I'm hoping today, by the end of Mass, you'll fill out this card. And this card is rooted in the readings from today's Mass. And the card simply says this. It's a gift today to Christ the King. And it says, Lord and King Jesus Christ, Shepherd of souls, please give me your grace and work with me to shepherd, and then you write the name, to shepherd them back to your church and to the weekly reception of the sacraments. And I promise, Lord, I promise to work with you as I listen to them and I learn from them and I love them for the next year. And then by your grace, lead them here. I lean, Lord, on your promise, in your word today that says, I will rescue my sheep from every place where they were scattered when it was cloudy and dark. Today at the end of Mass, I'm going to stand there with the basket. I'm just going to say, bring these names to Christ the King. And the Lord says, I've got your back, because I'm a caring king. And I'm a conquering king. And I'll work with you to reach out and care to that person. I'll work with you to begin to conquer some of their doubts and their fears. I won't conquer them, but I'll conquer those things. I'll work with you. And sometimes some of the names you're going to write on some of these cards are troubled folks. But the Lord said, when you reach out to them, you're really reaching out to me, because they're members of my body too, and I love them, and I don't want them to be lost any more than you do. I love them, says the Lord. And I'm coming to them through you, and I'm coming to you through them. I'm coming, says the Lord. I'm with you. I've got your back. Today, on the Feast of Christ the King, let's let the Lord care, conquer, and come to people that we love. Let them conquer their doubts and their fears, care for them, and come to them. And he's going to do it through us. Somebody say, amen.